Well, today is Mother's Day, and I trust that all of our ladies and all of our moms are enjoying their day so far, and God will continue to bless throughout this day for you. This morning, because it is Mother's Day, we are going to pause in our study of the book of Galatians, and today I want to focus our thoughts upon what the Bible has to say about the important role of mothers. This morning, I want to focus on what God deems to be quintessential in the lives of our ladies, and in fact, really, in the lives of all of us, and that is a godliness of character. Many today will stop and remember Mom, and many will give her thanks for all the nice things that she has done for them. Many will thank them because of the meals that she has made, because of the time that she has put into them, the clothes that she has washed. They will say thank you because she has always been available, but she has been one who is filled with understanding. Husbands today will stop and thank their wives for what she does within the home and for the fact that he has not been forgotten in the midst of the chaos that they call home. Although all of these things are worthy of mention, it should be that within the Christian home, the one thing that is honored above all else is a woman's walk with her Lord, her godliness, and her virtue. And it should be that one thing that above all else we seek to instill in the lives of the young ladies that God has placed within our care, that they would see that the most valuable thing that they could ever possess is Christian virtue and godliness of character. In Proverbs 31 and verse 10, the question is raised, who can find a virtuous woman? That word virtuous there is a word that simply means of great worth, of great price. In fact, in verse 30, we are told that a woman who is of greatest price is a woman that feareth the Lord. It is she that shall be praised. This morning, I want to take the time and ask you to consider with me several portraits of godly, virtuous women. And I want you to see what it was that the Lord said of them and why they were exalted above all others and why they are left for us as examples that we might follow in their footsteps. I've entitled this morning's message of Mother of Great Price. I'm going to ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer before we begin. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we're able to come together and we're able to study the Word of God. Lord, this morning we give you thanks for each lady that is here, for every mom, for the work that they have placed into their families, into their children, into their husbands. Lord, as ladies continue now to invest their lives into their grandchildren, Father, we ask and pray that you would bless them and help them day by day. Lord, we realize today as we stop and give thanks for them of all that they do for us. But Father, the greatest value that they could ever add is the value of a godly walk with you. Father, I pray today that you would help them, guide them, and direct them according to the truth of thy word. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. So, Lord, we come and ask and pray your blessing upon our time and study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bible this morning to the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Again, we're going to take the time to look at various portraits of godly ladies, ladies of virtue, ladies of great price within the Scripture. And we want to see what it is that God said of them. He left them there for us to be our examples, that we could follow in their footsteps. And we are wise if we would look and see and discover what it is that God saw within their lives and what it is that He honored, that we might have that within our own lives and be honored of Him as well. The first person that we want to consider this morning is Sarah. In Hebrews chapter 11, we know it to be that wonderful chapter of heaven's hall of faith in which God has chosen to record the lives of all them who have been faithful. In verse 11, we find this read or written of Sarah. It says, through faith, Also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of her child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. In Hebrews chapter 11, as God leaves for us these examples, He leaves for us the example of Sarah. In fact, Abraham and Sarah take up a considerable portion of this chapter, being what we would probably describe the parents of the faithful. In verse 11, again, it says that Sarah saw, or about Sarah, what God saw and counted her worthy of, and that is found in verse 11, in that she believed God, she took Him at His word, she counted Him faithful. I think that's a remarkable statement for any lady to know that be said of her, that she would believe God and count Him to be faithful who had promised. What it was about Sarah that God saw and what God judged to be worthy of our remembrance was that she judged God faithful in her life. We know that Sarah was one unable to conceive. Her womb was dead by the standards of men, unable to bear children. Yet she believed that the promise that God had given to her and Abraham would stand, that what He had promised, He was willing to perform. Her virtue, her worth, was her faith and willingness, like her husband, to believe God and take Him at His word. That which is of great worth and that which is of great value and that which God honors is a woman who walks and lives by faith, willing to judge your God to be faithful in all things. So ladies, can I ask you this morning, how have you judged God? Do you judge Him to be one who has been faithful? As you live within your home, as you seek to raise up your children in the things of this world and fight against the lures of this world, do you believe that your God is faithful in all things? As your family is faced with hardships and trials, as your children have to deal with problems that they face, and others who may not be kind to them or not fair in their dealings with them, as you go through those times of hardships and trials, are you the one within your home that points them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you the one who shares with them the examples of God's faithfulness within your life? Have you judged Him to be the one who will meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory? Have you counted God faithful? Or through your words and actions, do you teach a different perspective about God? As your family faces financial stress or physical sickness, are you willing to step up by faith and share with your family your belief that God is able to do all things, that He will be faithful, that as the chorale sang, He will never leave you nor forsake you, that He will supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus? Or are you quick to complain and quick to blame God for the distress that you now face? Sarah was one who judged God to be faithful. As we as a church seek to move forward and do work around our church and endeavor to do all for the glory of God, which, by the way, will require all of us to labor and minister for Him, are you one that is supportive in what you say? Are you behind the scenes the one who makes the negative comments to complain about leadership and the direction and things that are going on? Are you known as the one who sets the example to slander and to gossip? Or are you one who supports because you believe that God is faithful? A woman that has virtue, a woman that will be praised, the one who judges her God to be faithful and then proves it in her walk and in her words. Sarah judged her God to be faithful in all things. She believed in the promises of God. She was willing to take God at His word. And what He said, she knew that He would perform. She walked and lived by faith.
And that is a virtue or character trait that is needed by all ladies, yea, by all of us today. That we would judge our God to be faithful, able to do what He has promised. Yet for so many, as soon as the trials, the hardships, the difficulties come, we want to turn and blame our God. We want to become negative and make comments against those in leadership. We want to find everyone else to blame. We want to see that our circumstances therefore allow us to have the terrible attitudes within our hearts and that which comes out of our lips. That's our reason, that's our excuse because of the problems that I face. There's no wonder I'm like this. Sarah believed God. She judged Him as faithful. And she counted Him to be one who would do as He had promised. That ought to be the virtue of every mom here this morning. I want you to turn now with me to the book of Exodus in chapter 2. Book of Exodus, chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 gives to us the beginning story of Jochebed. Jochebed is Moses' mother. In fact, as we read in Exodus chapter 2, we don't even know this dear lady's name. We find that out later in chapter 6 and verse 20. But I want you to notice with me in Exodus chapter 2, begin with me in verse 10, and let's see the trait that God has left her here as our example. It says, "When there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" We find in Exodus chapter 2, in the story of Jochebed, this trait, that Jochebed trusted in the sovereignty of God. She had been faced with the decree, as all of Israel had been faced, that all the newborn baby boys were to be put to death. In fact, they were to be drowned in the river. But she could not bear to do that and follow that decree, believing that God believes in the sanctity of life. And so she did what she could. She hid him for 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she made an ark of bulrushes and she laid him in the water in a place that she knew that Pharaoh's daughter would come. And she trusted in the sovereignty of God. We understand the story. We know what happens as Pharaoh's daughter sees the child. She has compassion. She is given the opportunity to nurse him and to bring him up. But I marvel at verse 10. That she brings him to Pharaoh's daughter again. And gives him to be her son. In all of these things, she trusted in the sovereignty of God, that God was in control of all things. Some would wonder how she could do this.
How could a Jew give up her child to be cared for and raised by a heathen? Well, folks, what we find is that Jochebed was willing to trust that God was in control of all things. I want you to consider a moment the importance of that kind of faith. Because I want you to go now down the road of history with me. Who was it that Pharaoh would come and stand before as Pharaoh? When he would come and say, "Let my people go," why would he be allowed to have such an audience with the most powerful man upon the face of the earth? Most likely, folks, he grew up with Pharaoh in Pharaoh's house. Many years have passed, and the reason Moses was able to become the deliverer of his people, to emancipate them and set them free, is because his mother Jochebed believed in the sovereignty of God and trusted that God is in control of all things. And because of that act of faith and that decision, God was able to use that to save his people from Egypt. Now, would you would, if you would, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I want you to consider with me some thoughts concerning Hannah. Hannah, by far, is maybe one of the more familiar stories and one that is often turned to even on Mother's Day. We know the story well, how Hannah desired to have a child and did not have one. She went and she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord supplied. And she conceived and bare Samuel, and was willing then, because she had vowed to God, to bring her son and leave him with Eli to be a servant within the temple. What I find in Hannah's life is very simply that she was one who prayed believing, but also paid her vow because she counted God to be worthy. I believe those two things made her a virtuous woman. I want you to consider the first one with me, that she prayed in faith, believing that God would answer. Look with me in chapter 1 in verse 9. It says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat of the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaiden, but wilt give unto thine handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." As you read that passage of Scripture this morning, you see her faith as it is expressed to God, as she offers to Him a vow. A vow that she intends to keep. She prays in faith, believing. She longed to have a child, to have her reproach taken away. She desired, and she came to the Lord, and she prayed, and wept sore. She sought the Lord with all her heart. But I want you to look with me then in verse 24, down through verse 28. It says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock that brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord,
As thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I have prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. When the time appointed to bring Samuel to the temple, she was willing to pay her vow because she counted her God worthy. What she promised, she performed. She prayed in faith, believing. She came seeking the Lord. And she made a vow. She made a promise. And that promise, she kept. That promise required her taking her child who was young and leaving him in the temple there to be a servant of the Lord all the days of his life. That which she had longed for, that which could have been truly the absolute desire of her heart, she was willing to pay that vow because God is worthy of our vow and our payment. What she had promised, she was willing to do. Ladies, can I ask you this morning, when the burdens of life swallow you up, what do you do with them? Hannah came to God and there she prayed. She sought the Lord with all of her heart. Who is it that you seek out in your days of heaviness? Is it that you have to go to your close friend? Is it that you have to return again to your family to find solace and help? Who is it that you run to? Hannah was one who believed in God and she prayed. Yet sadly today, our first inclination is often to go to those who are powerless to help. But she sought the one who is able to do all things. She sought the Lord in tears. She searched with him with all of her heart. Ladies, a woman of great price is one who seeks the Lord, but it's also one who's willing to keep her vows. Lord, ladies, when you promise the Lord that you're going to do something, do you follow through and do it? When you make a commitment to the Lord, are you willing to follow through even to your own hurt? Hannah was willing to take her son Samuel, whom she prayed for, and take him to the temple and there to leave him, because she had promised God that if he gave her a man child, she would give him back to him. That vow, no doubt, was difficult and hard, but she followed through, and they worshiped there the Lord. I like the words that David poses in Psalm 15. David asks us the question, who is able to abide in the tabernacle of the Lord? Who can dwell in his holy hill? And one of the traits that David then mentions is found in verse 4. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. The idea, folks, of that phrase is one who will make a vow and pay it. What they promise, they perform. Even if it's to their own hurt. Even if it costs them. One of the godly traits that ought to be instilled in our young ladies today is a willingness to follow through with their commitments, willing to seek the Lord with all of their heart. We live in a world today of entitlement and very few who are willing to live by their commitments. Hannah saw things differently. She believed in God. She sought him with all of her heart, and the vow that she made, she was willing to pay. Turn over now with me, if you would, to the book of Esther in chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. In Esther chapter 4, we find
this remarkable story of a lady used by the Lord to again save her people. Esther, a Jew, by the providence of Almighty God, had been made queen in the empire of the Medes and the Persians during the reign of Xerxes. Her uncle Mordecai had heard of a plot by one man named Haman. He was second in command there in that empire, and his desire was to destroy all of the Jews. Mordecai therefore had an audience with Esther, and he informs her of that plot, and he asks him to go now to the king that his people and her people might be saved. He reminds her that she had been placed in that position for such a time as this. However, Esther had not been summoned before the king. And in the culture of that day, to enter into the king's court without a summon, even as queen, could mean the end of your life. Because no one entered into his presence without being invited to enter in. I want you to look at verse 16, if you would with me. In verse 16, as she has been now asked to do these things by Mordecai, her response: go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. That's a remarkable statement from this lady. What is it that allowed her to be able to say, I will go, I will stand in that gap, I will understand that this is my time in such a time as this to do this for the people of God? How could she say, if I perish, I perish? Esther was one that submitted her will to the will of God, that her people might be saved. She was willing to place her hands in the hands of God and trust Him with all of her life. Dear ladies, you will be known as a woman of great worth to the Lord when you're willing to submit your will to His will in all things. Are you willing to place your life in His hands? Or do you prefer to be in control of everything? Esther was one who submitted her will to the will of God. You say, oh, I don't know if I'm willing to do all those things. Let me ask you another question. Have you submitted yourselves unto your own husbands in the fear of the Lord? Or do you seek still to control him by your actions and your attitude? Are you willing to leave your life and your children's lives in the hands of God? Or are you one who in even your prayer life demands that God does things your way? Esther was willing to submit herself and her will to the will of God. Remember, the Lord Jesus taught us in His model prayer that it is not about our will being done in heaven. It's about God's will being done on earth. That's how we're supposed to pray. That thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By the way, can I take a moment and just interject here on a personal level? I think sometimes when we talk about some of these things, we direct our thoughts towards younger mothers who still have children at home. But you know, I'll be honest with you, over the last few years, I've noticed something. I've noticed that in the lives of mothers whose children are gone, and as they watch problems and struggles within the lives of their children, now not under their control or under their care, as they watch struggles in the lives of their grandchildren, that sometimes grandmoms struggle more with submitting to the will of God than moms do. Dear lady, if that's you this morning and you found that it's harder for you to watch your children now struggle, now that they're older and on their own, and to watch your grandchildren struggle,
Can I remind you that you can't fix all of their problems in their family? You can't. They have to be willing to walk with God in their own home. You can't fix their problems. In fact, you're not helping them by helping them. I know a mother thinks that if I step in, everything will be okay. But it isn't true. Often you're hurting more than you're helping. But they're in financial distress, so we'll give them the money. That doesn't always help. Well, they don't know what to do and they're really struggling, so we're going to step in and we're going to take over. You're not helping. But I have to. I'm the mom. I can't watch them struggle. Oh, yes, you can. You have to trust in the will of God and His sovereignty and submit your will to His. It's hard sometimes. But that is what a woman of great worth and virtue will do. One final thought this morning. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we find two ladies very familiar to us. I want you to look with me beginning in verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" We come to Mary and Martha this morning, and I want you to see two basic traits. One from the life of Martha, and one from the life of Mary. As we consider Martha this morning, I want you to see the virtue that she had. And sometimes we come to this passage and forget that there was virtue in Martha. But there was. Because as you come to verse 38 and 39, we find that Martha was willing to receive the Lord into her house. She was faithful and willing to serve. She was willing to receive the Lord and to meet His needs. In verse 40, I want you to notice that when the Lord came, she desired to serve Him. Now, when the Lord begins to share this comparison, it is just that, it's a comparison. To show Martha that there is something better, but service is still good. He doesn't rebuke her for the service. He basically shares with her that there is something far greater that she is missing. But still, we need to understand that there is value in one who is willing to serve the Lord. She was faithful and willing to serve. But Mary understood, and her virtuous, she saw the importance of fellowship with Christ. She understood the value of sitting at the feet and learning of the Savior. While Martha was cumbered about with her service, Mary saw the opportunity to sit and to fellowship with Christ. Our service, ladies, is important, but far better it is that we learn to stop, that we might fellowship also at His feet. Dear ladies, we have considered but a few examples this morning. We could have looked at more. We could have considered Rebecca. We could have considered Ruth. We could have looked at Rahab and Priscilla, just to name a few. But this morning, I want you to consider your own life and ask, am I numbered with those who are known as virtuous women of the Bible? Is my life a life
of great price and worth to the Lord. Ladies, those are a need in our world today, a need within our church and a need within our homes, that women live by godly virtue and set an example that others would follow. There is no greater service that you can give than the service of a life committed to pleasing the Lord through godly character, to setting the examples that others could follow. As we considered these this morning, can I just remind you that we saw in Sarah one who judged her God to be faithful in all things. She believed him and took him at his word. In Jochebed, she was one who was willing to trust in the sovereignty of God, knowing that he is in control of all things. Hannah, in the midst of her distress, in the midst of her despair, sought the Lord with tears. It was his help she wanted. And when she made a vow, she was willing to pay that vow because she counted her God to be worthy of that. She didn't go back on her word. She kept it, even to her own hurt. In Esther, she was one who would submit her will to the will of God, that others might be saved, that their life would be better than before. And then we find Mary and Martha. Martha, one willing to serve, willing to meet the needs within the life even of our Lord and do all that he would require. And Mary, one who would want to come and sit at his feet, to desire his fellowship, his companionship, to learn, to be instructed of him. All of these things are godly virtues that ought to be a part of every woman's life. But men, can I say to you, that ought not just be a part of their life, that ought to be a part of ours as well. There's a good example for us to follow here, even this morning, in the lives of these that God has recorded for our examples. Let's pray together as we close.